This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel, and we're going to continue now with our series on the growing sense of individualism in China. The series is called A Nation of Individuals. After decades of communist rule, the Chinese people are beginning to strike out on their own, often for the first time. Today, NPR's Rob Gifford has the story of Li Dan, a young idealist who's devoted his life to helping people with HIV/AIDS.
It's 8 o'clock on a hot summer morning, and 27-year-old Li Dan is standing outside the Yo'an Infectious Diseases Hospital in southern Beijing. With him are three children, aged between 7 and 9, from Henan Province, south of the capital. Li is briefing the father of one of the children about a test they're all about to undergo. Inside the hospital, 9-year-old Ji Haibo stretches out his arm for a blood test, watched by his father and by Li Dan himself. The boy was recently told he had contracted HIV from an infected blood transfusion. The only reason he's here is because Li Dan knows how to get treatment for him and will help him pay. Otherwise, he'd be sitting in his poor village back in Henan, waiting to die. Outside, the boy's father, Ji Jianguo, can't stop thanking Li Dan.
We are so grateful to Li Dan. We didn't get any help from the local government. All these costs are being paid for by Li Dan himself.
The rise of China on the world stage is coinciding with the emergence within China of a new type of citizen. Whether these citizens succeed in building the society they want to will be crucial in shaping what kind of country China becomes. Chinese society is at a turning point after more than 25 years of economic reform. The party has retreated from people's everyday lives, but has also left funding of many basic services, such as healthcare and education, to market forces, and many poorer members of society are falling through the cracks. Into this space have stepped a small group of new idealists, activists who don't want to just follow the money-grabbing ways of the go-go 1990s. Li Dan exemplifies this group.
I first became aware of AIDS when I saw the Tom Hanks movie Philadelphia in 1998. I realized there was a group of people being ostracized by society because of this disease. It was pure youthful idealism on my part. I just wanted to do something to help them.
Much to the horror of his parents, Li gave up his graduate studies in solar physics at a good university in Beijing and threw himself into full-time voluntary work, publicizing the AIDS problem. Li has become skilled at using the foreign and increasingly the local media, which can now report some sensitive issues such as AIDS. He can often be seen sitting in a downtown McDonald's briefing reporters on the latest news. When he first began, he says his activism went quite smoothly. Then he heard about the AIDS villages of Henan Province, south of Beijing. Whole villages of people infected with HIV through the unhygienic practices of government-run blood collection centers. That is where the boy, Ji Haibo, who Li Dan has brought to Beijing, became infected. Incensed by how the Henan government was trying to cover up its complicity, Li set about trying to help the children orphaned by AIDS.
Many officials in Henan thought we had a political agenda, but we didn't. We were just trying to help the AIDS orphans.
Even so, he and his small group of fellow volunteers have been detained several times and beaten by local police. Li Dan has now officially set up an NGO called, rather euphemistically, the Orchid Culture Communication Center to try to help the AIDS orphans. He says you still can't use the word AIDS in the name of an organization. The big problem, he says, is the complete lack of any concept of civil society in modern China, that space between the individual and the government that has long been filled in the West by religious or civic organizations.
What China needs most of all is civil society. Since 1949, there's been none at all. The government tries to keep all good works in its own hands, but then doesn't do anything. It's very difficult because there's no precedent, no one to teach us how to do it. So we're just feeling our way, tentatively.
Li says there are more organizations like his in China, set up by persistent individuals like himself, doing more and more good works. And he says they've carved out a limited space in which to work independently, and they've started influencing the government. Beijing has, within the last year, dramatically changed its AIDS policy, admitted its problem, and set up ways to deal with it. Many experts credit activists like Li Dan for raising official awareness. But he says the government still doesn't want too many people like him doing this kind of work. The next day, Li is talking to a group of students at a university in central Beijing. They've gathered to hear him give a lecture about AIDS. Just 5 years ago, 3 years even, such a public lecture would have been unthinkable. It's not often that these 20-year-old students hear people speaking on the subject of oral and anal sex. But here he is, a skinny activist, only 27 himself, describing all the details of how AIDS can and cannot be transmitted. Afterwards, back in McDonald's, he gets into a long discussion with his friends about where China is going.
I'm not optimistic about the future. Of course, as a Chinese person, I want China to be strong. But Americans only see the flourishing cities, and I think they misunderstand. The cities are a tiny part of what's going on in China, and they're not representative at all.
Asked about the future of NGOs, he's even less optimistic. For civil society to flourish, he says, you really need a lot of people to stand up and take part and demand power from the government in a peaceful way, as Mahatma Gandhi did. There are some people doing it, he says, like me, but it's simply not happening on that scale yet. Chinese people, he says, because of their education, are used to being told what to do and not used to getting up and starting things themselves. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Beijing.
AIDS and HIV researchers and healthcare providers from around the world are meeting in Rio de Janeiro right now. Among the topics of discussion, how HIV is spreading along the route that heroin travels from Afghanistan to Eastern Europe.
Chris Beirer of Johns Hopkins said at the conference that infections are rising in countries like Belarus, Iran, Tajikistan, and Ukraine. Cheap heroin is easier to come by in those countries since the fall of the Taliban in Afghanistan. Heroin is often injected, and IV drug users who share dirty needles can spread HIV.
Dr. Breyer said that it is a relatively recent epidemic, but it's fast growing. He said drug treatment and HIV prevention must be implemented now, everywhere the heroin is flowing.